All right, if you wish to follow along, turn back again to Romans chapter 9. Now, some of my scripture readings have kind of been a little overlap from where I was, you know, the last Sunday I was here to preach. But what I want to try to concentrate on this morning is Romans 9, verses 22 through 26. So let's read those words. You follow along as I read. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also in OC, or that is Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And this is, think about this. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there, now I'm saying that I'm at it, in that place, in that very place,
that's right,
there shall they be called the children of the living God.
Amen.
My title for this morning is this, and I won't concentrate solely upon that, but I hope you will see what I'm getting at as we go through the message here. My title is this: Relationship and Union with God. Relationship and Union with God. One place.
Amen.
One place.
That's right.
Now, we've already looked at, in some detail, at verses 22 and 23, and actually 24. But just to quickly recap, God has, God does, and God will show his wrath. God's wrath is not something men force God to do.
Right.
It is that which God brings upon men and women in justice because of their sins. As I've said before, it's not, God's wrath's not like a tea kettle, and it heats up and it heats up and it heats up. Then the next thing you know, it starts going off. God's wrath is controlled in absolute justice.
Amen.
But I thank God that God has, does, and will show mercy.
Amen.
Were he only a God of wrath, none of us would have hope.
Exactly.
The best among us,
yeah,
would have no hope.
That's right.
And the worst among us would be likewise as well. Because, in fact, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Glory to God's name for his mercy. But as we read here, there are some. Those who God shows mercy, he, in fact, afore prepared them to that mercy.
Yes, sir.
So the question is, right now, who are they? Who is it that God shows mercy to? I said who, not why.
Yeah.
We were told why back up here when we looked at Jacob and Esau. Mm-hmm. The why resides only in the character and the person and the perfection of God himself.
Yes, sir.
But this mercy is manifested. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about why, but who. Mm-hmm. Not why does God show mercy. God shows mercy because he will.
Amen.
He wills to show mercy,
yes,
period.
Sir.
That's why he shows mercy. But who? Who? According to the Apostle Paul, our dear brother, he will show mercy to those he calls. Isn't that what it says?
Yes, sir.
Verse 24. This mercy that make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us. But it's a particular us.
Yes, sir.
It's not just any. Oh, willy-nilly can read this Bible and say, oh, this applies to me. Not necessarily. Even us, whom he hath called. Do you see it? Whom he hath called. No man or woman has any right to think God has showed them mercy until after God first calls them.
Amen.
And it does not say we show mercy because we call on God, though call on God we must.
Yes, sir.
Call on God, we must. We're told, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
But God doesn't show us mercy because we call on him. He calls us in mercy and brings us to call upon him. And let's go back quickly and look at that. You know, you're familiar with this. Romans 8, 28. And we know all things work together for good. But it is qualified. To them that love God. But that's even qualified. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Not just any kind of calling. Not a religious calling. Not asking men and women to come to the front of the church and pray some prayer or make some decision. It's to be called of God according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, that is the Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. And it's a number that no man can number. I know some people hear us preach and they think, well, you're acting like it's only just a couple handfuls. Oh, no. Oh no, God is merciful to myriads of fallen sons and daughters of Adam. But he's not merciful to all the sons and daughters of Adam.
Exactly.
That he, that is Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. And he is.
Yes.
And he shall see all of them gathered one day around his side.
Amen.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also, what? Called. So you have to have been predestinated by God first before you'll ever receive this calling. Any other calling is of no value whatsoever.
Exactly.
Apart from this calling.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with coming forward and making a public profession of faith.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But that's not how you get God's mercy.
Exactly.
If you ever do that, crying out to God for mercy, it's because he's already given you mercy and called you to it in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, excuse me, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? And then look, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. This particular us all here.
Yes, sir.
Right? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Well, a man needs to repent. And if God, if you're the called of God, he will call you to repentance.
Yes, sir.
And if you're one of God's called, he'll call you to faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Because what Jesus Christ did on that tree assured that every other necessity would be given by God.
Yes, sir.
That's what this says here. We're not denying the necessity, the absolute necessity of repentance and faith and perseverance and love and union and desire and obedience. But those things can only come because Jesus Christ died in our room and in our stead.
Amen.
Aren't you glad for that?
Yes, sir.
But now, let me give you four main points from our brother Paul. And the bulk of my message will be on the third and fourth point. Number one, I'm just going to make this statement. We'll look at a couple spots. I'll move through the first two quickly. Gentile inclusion, according to the Apostle Paul, was and never is an afterthought with God.
That's right.
Never is. We just read it, verse 24, 25, 26. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Now notice he uses the word Jews here, not Israel.
That's right.
Because he's about to quote from a prophet in which in that prophet's day, Israel, the Jews, were split into two different nations.
Yeah.
The northern nation and the southern nation. The northern nation of Israel and the southern nation of Judah. They were all Jews, but even nationally they weren't all Israel anymore. One was called Israel, the other was called Judah. But we'll look at that more in a moment. Gentile inclusion is not an afterthought with God. And you can read that. Paul also lets us know that in Galatians chapter 3, if you wish to read that with me Galatians chapter 3. Verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, we're not going to deal with the main thought that Paul's getting at here, but I want to show you this. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, this is Abraham now, remember? He preceded the law of Moses.
Yes, sir.
He preceded the Sinai law and the Levitical laws and the rules and the regulations and the ordinances. When Abraham lived, the only law that existed was one, God's holy law and God's own mind, and what God had wrote in men's hearts. But that is all messed up because of our fallen Adam. But look, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. In Abraham's day, in Paul's day, or in our day. If we are of faith, if we've been called into the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are a child of Abraham. Look, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, now, granted, it wasn't much detail about the gospel, but inspired writer himself, our brother, calls it the gospel. So that makes it the gospel, even if the details of it was very limited at the time. Saying, in thee shall all nations, not just one, not just two, but all nations be blessed. So then, they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Number one. Now, folks, I don't want to convolute what I'm about to say, but I want to mention, I was born and raised in dispensational theology. And some of you here have never had that trouble. You've never had that ill placed upon you. You never was in the Sunday schools. But I was born and raised. I cut my eye teeth, as we say, on dispensational religion. I don't want to go into that. Other than to say this, one of the main problems with the dispensational doctrine is this. In its most hyper form, I'm not saying everybody holds this, in its most hyper form, they actually teach that there were six, seven, or eight dispensations. I don't remember for sure. And God saved people in different ways under different dispensations. That's not so.
You're right.
The first two sinners God saved are the two he clothed with coats of skins.
That's right.
Okay? The next one we see the same is Noah. And Noah found what? G-R-A-C-E. In the eyes of the Lord. And after that ordeal with the flood was over, what's one of the first things Noah did when he got off that boat?
Yeah.
Offered sacrifice to God. And on, and on, and on. Because right at the get-go of our fall, God Almighty promised the coming of the Messiah. And that's how every person who's ever been saved or will ever be saved is by that Messiah.
Yes, sir.
Here's the second problem with this dispensationalism. They teach that God has two peoples on the earth. One is the nation of Israel, and that includes everybody that was born of the loins of Abraham. But first of all, the problem is Abraham was not an Israelite.
That's right.
There were no Israelites until Jacob was born, and his name was changed to Israel, and then his sons came along. They were Israel, but I digress. Quickly. The second problem with the dispensationalism is this. God has these promises and mercies and covenants to Israel as a nation. And he worked, basically, I know I'm cutting this short, and I don't mean to build a straw man because I'm not here as a diatribe against dispensationalism. But they basically have God fulfilling salvation to the Jews through sacrifices and offerings and animal blood and all of these things. But then that didn't work real well even for Israel. So now God's got this Israel-Gentile thing with Jesus Christ. Now folks, us here may think that's crazy, but I was born and bred in that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And Mac, it has still taken me years and I still have some of that old rubbish laying around. You know, I still have a lot of that old rubbish laying around that I've got to keep brushing out of the way. So first of all, Gentile inclusion, never ever was it an afterthought with God. Now here's, I'm going to even criticize myself and some phrases I used to use. The New Testament church is no unknown gap, nor parentheses. The New Testament church is exactly what God ordained before the foundation of the world to take place at this present time. And we, as the New Testament church, we know a whole lot more than some of our brothers and sisters did. Yeah. We know a whole lot more doctrine, Joe, a whole lot more of the character of God and who He is. But we were saved by no less or more grace than Abraham, our father, was.
That's exactly right.
The same grace, the same blood of Jesus Christ, the same person called Jesus Christ. The church is not a gap.
Exactly.
I've used it before. You may go back and listen to some of my old messages. You will hear me say that. God forgive me for that. Like I said, the rubbish is still there. But here's number three. God purposed, He purposed this, a natural absence of relationship with Himself. And that happened through the fall. We're not going back through that. God purposed a natural absence of relationship with Himself, which all are under by nature, not just the Jew or not just the Gentile. Paul said we before proved we're all, Jew and Gentile, we're all under sin. None of us have a natural relationship with God. We lost that in our daddy Adam in the garden.
Amen.
Jew or Gentile? As a matter of fact, back then, I guess we were all just Gentiles. There wasn't no Jews until Abraham come along. And there was no Israelites until Jacob come along. So, God purposed natural absence of relationship with Himself, which all have by nature, Jew or Gentile, and God purposed natural absence of personal, intimate reunion with Himself, which all have by nature. God purposed by electing mercy that the called would all be first be brought into relationship with Him. Verse 25. Let me get back to Romans 9. Now turn here with me. Look at what it says. And as saith also, as he saith also in OC or Hosea, I will call them my people, which was not my people, and her beloved, which was not my beloved. And he applies this to the Gentiles, as well as the Jews, right?
Yes, sir.
Look at the previous verse. Even us. That's qualified. The us is qualified. Whom he hath called. Now somebody says, well, I think I'm one of God's elect. I think he showed me mercy in Christ before the world began. Upon what basis? You have no right to think that until God calls you. And when God calls you, you're going to start to repent. You're going to start to believe. You're going to start to serve. You're going to start to love. Look, even us whom he hath called, not the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also in OC. And we will look at it here in a minute. You back and read OC. OC don't mention nothing about no Gentiles. But yet Paul applies it to both Jews and Gentiles. But one thing we will see in the nation of Jews at that time, they were what? Divided. They were two separate peoples. When they were brought into the judgment of captivity, the judgment of God, God dealt with Israel and Judah separately. And he took the northern nation of Israel, the northern Jews, and took them into captivity in Syria. And they were dispersed amongst the inhabitants of the world. And those 10 tribes were lost forever. Back then, not in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed, that northern nation was obliterated. But then you had the southern part, Judah. They were taken into captivity in Babylon. And they existed for a long time.
Yes, sir.
And they still had their records. And at times they had their temple. They had a rebuilt temple after the captivity of Babylon. They had another temple called Herod's temple that was built for them by Herod. They had all of those things. And in 70 AD, God wiped all of that out.
Yes, sir.
He wiped all of that out. Now here, as I said, look, as he saith also in OC, I will call them my people, which were not my people. That's what I mean when I'm talking about relationship with. To be called someone's people means what? You have a relationship with that person, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, as also, they all of the called will be brought into relationship with God. That's the first part of verse 25. But all of the called will be brought into personal, intimate union with God as well. The last part. And her beloved, which was not beloved. We're not just his people, but we are his beloved people.
Amen.
You see that? So you have both actual relationship, but it's not a natural relationship. And you have actual intimate union with God, but it's not based upon a natural thing. This is Jew or Gentile, either one. That's not the point. It's a work of God that takes place for this. That's what Paul's talking about here. So all of the call will be brought into this personal, intimate union with God. This is no dispensational salvation. This is the way God's always saved everybody. And even though the prophet said, and it shall come to pass, and we'll look at that in a moment, and it shall come to pass, it doesn't mean it wasn't true for every individual God saved from the first one up until this time. Noah was brought into an intimate, personal, living union with God Almighty. And it wasn't by law, it wasn't by conscience, it wasn't by sacrifice, it was by grace. It was by grace. But here's the truth narrowed down even further to its most common denominator. And this is point number four. Relationship and union with God is in a certain place. See it? And it shall come to pass. How is it different now than it was back then? Back then it was only a remnant amongst the tribes of Judah. Or maybe possibly a remnant of Jews amongst the 10 tribes in Israel. Even in Isaiah's day, God told Isaiah, only a remnant shall be saved. And Paul deals with that over in chapter 11, doesn't he? He said, even so at this present time, there's also a remnant according to the election of grace. So, this relationship and union with God is in a certain place. Verse 26, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Now turn to Hosea. I got one up on you. I have mine marked. It's right after Daniel, but I have trouble finding Daniel sometimes. So turn to Hosea chapter 1. See, when somebody says, well, you can't apply that truth to the New Testament church because that applies to Israel. Well, they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, so you can't exactly apply it all to them, every Israelite, can you?
Exactly. You're right.
And he's not a Jew, which is one outwardly, and circumcision is not that of the flesh, it's in here.
Amen.
Amen.
It's in here. And that's not a new doctrine. That's not a new way of salvation. Moses told the Israelites in his day, God's going to have to circumcise your heart.
Yeah.
That's right.
That work was already being done back then.
Yeah.
But here's the amazing thing. Now, are you at Hosea chapter 1? Let's read Hosea from our brother Paul's quote. And I will start, for sake of time, in verse 6. And you pardon me if I butcher a couple of these names. I've tried to practice them a little, but I mean, I'm not real educated in that. And she conceived again. This is Hosea's wife, Gomer. And we're not even going to talk about, you know the account of Hosea and Gomer. And she conceived again, bare a daughter. God said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah. For I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel. Woe. Woe. But I will utterly take them away. Now, every dispensationalist, whether they like me being against dispensationalism or whatever, that's just as much true as anything else God's ever said.
Amen.
And when the ten northern tribes were taken into captivity, they ceased to exist. They had no more record of who they were born from. They had no idea who they are. If one exists today, and there may, they can't prove it.
Exactly.
And even Judah, which still had the records. And if you know anything about Jewish history, you know where they kept those records? In the temple. In 70 AD, those records were destroyed. Okay, now remember. But look, I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. Why? Because Judah was any better than Israel? No. Judah rebelled too. He went into captivity in Babylon. You see it? But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. What did he say? God's sovereign in this thing.
Yes, sir.
He hardens whom he will, but whoever he hardens is still just because of their sin. And if it shows mercy, no justice is crumbled, passed to the side. God does this. Paul done preached it well. That message is a prelude, excellent to what I'm giving you here. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God. And I will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, nor by horses, nor by horsemen. This ain't about physical things. It's about God conquering people down in here. Now, when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Okay, you see it? She conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ami. For ye are not my people. What? The only people that are truly God's people are those God chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. Amen. Jew or Gentile. Amen. Israel or Judah. Yeah. Now look, we're not done yet. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. I mean, can you imagine hearing that? Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall it be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God.
Amen.
Then, look at it. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head.
Amen.
There's your place.
Yes, sir.
And that place, I'm here to declare, is a person.
Amen.
A person. There shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. They don't have to wait till the millennium. I'm not throwing off on the millennium, but there ain't no waiting till the millennium.
No.
You either get it in Christ when you live now, or you don't ever get it.
Exactly.
Whether this day or the millennium.
Yeah.
Salvation's always been by this one head. But here's the difference. Judah and Israel will come back together. But they ain't going to have any idea who's really Judah and who's really Israel. It don't matter. Because in Christ Jesus, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. Bond nor free. Greek nor poor. Male nor female. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Look, and appoint themselves one head. They shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Now let's look at this. One head for Judah, one head for Israel, in spite of verse 6. And in light of verse 6. You see it? In spite of verse 6. And Paul says that the Gentiles, according to chapter 9, verse 23 through 26, are included in that number. The Gentiles who are called are included in that number. They, all three, Judah, Israel, the Gentiles, all three shall gather, that is, grasp or collect. They gather together, that is, to unite as one. And they will appoint, which means to put or commit or to determine or to head up themselves under what? One head. You see it? One head. But note, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. We read it, didn't we? Jezreel is this. Great will be the day of God's strengthful, mighty planting and sowing. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, God help. Now, there's some things you can be wrong about and still go to glory. But you cannot reject the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And think that you will pass into eternal glory with Jesus Christ. You either be made to love him now, and you'll still love him then, or you'll never love him, and you will be condemned by him. One or the other. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or 3, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as in the spiritual, but as in the carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you're not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. For are you not carnal? And what was their carnality? Now, folks, they had a lot of carnality in Corinth. But look at the carnality he's talking about. This ain't about incest. This ain't about drunkenness. This is about bragging on preachers. You see it?
Yeah.
He calls that carnality, bragging on preachers. Yeah. Look, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now he's going to give it to us. For while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, and are you not carnal? Huh? Well, I mean, God saved me under Paul. Now, he's an apostle. Now, Apollos, I know he speaks very well. He's very eloquent, but I was called under an apostle.
Yeah.
And somebody else says, well, but you know, Paul, he's a wise man, but he just don't have that, his messages don't have that oratory power like Apollos does. Well, I know I was converted because I was under Apollos. I thought that's carnal.
Yeah.
It's carnal. For while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed. But it ain't because of their power. Even as the Lord gave to every man. If God used Paul's preaching to convert you, that's because God gave it to Paul for that.
Yes, sir.
And if God used Apollos to convert you, then God determined that too. Even that's up to God. He didn't just send his men out there to preach and then like an insurance agent and hope to hit as many doors as you can, maybe get a few folks in. God's calling out the exact number that he purposed to call before the foundation of the world. But look at it. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Do you see that? He gave it. He just gives it. Now let me tell you, we dare not ever despise watering and planting and watering. No, sir. But God gives the increase. This is all up to God. Do you see it? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but here it is, but God that giveth the increase. Whether it's Jew or Gentile. Unbeknownst to them or not. Israel or Judah. Even natural descendants. That's all up to God.
Exactly.
It's all up to God. God's never saved one Jew just because they were a Jew.
That's right.
How do I know that? Go back to Romans 9. Back to Romans 9. Let me read it. Let me find my spot. Verse 10. And not only this. This is another illustration. He's already gave a couple more. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that what? Calleth.
Amen.
You see it? Calleth. This thing never. And God didn't save us just because we're Gentiles and we ain't like those filthy Jews. Huh? Because we're nothing but filthy Gentiles. We're all of the same lump. You see, Paul is in this chapter 9, well, actually after chapter 8, 9, 10, and 11, Paul is just hammering on the free, reigning, sovereign grace of God. He's relentless. He won't quit. He just keeps on and keeps on. He breaks down the Jewish barrier. He breaks down the Israelite barriers. He breaks down the Judah barriers. He breaks down the Greeks or the wise barriers. He breaks down the Gentile or the immoral all over the world. He breaks it all down and says salvation is by God in Christ.
Amen.
There is no other way. Has never ever been any other way. And there will never ever be any other way.
Amen.
Than other by Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, apply these things to our hearts. Help us to rejoice in them and find some comfort and strength. In Christ's name, amen.